So I want to welcome you to the Unbound Freedom in Christ Conference that Jan and I have had the privilege of doing and presenting throughout the world to many, many countries. And come this year, I think the book will be translated into 9 languages. So we're really thrilled about that, knowing that in various places in the earth, we hear testimonies of people reading and getting set free and wanting more. We're certainly anticipating God doing wonderful things here. I know for some of you, it's already begun of hearing the stories. It's just very exciting. And we've been praying for you, praying that you will be able to receive all that God has prepared for you. When we present this conference, we really hope that you'll be able to go away having a fresh perspective about deliverance ministry and really making a shift and understanding things in the way that the Lord has given us to understand it. I'd like to, I know we've already prayed, but I'd just like to just take a moment and just invite the Lord to rule over my speaking and this time together. So Heavenly Father, we are just so aware of your love and your presence. We thank you so much for the gift of your Son, our Deliverer, our Savior. And we ask that you would really take us deeper, Lord. Take us deeper into your love and take us deeper into the freedom that we have received in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe that the Lord has been preparing your hearts all week, if not for months, for what he wants to do. He's always ahead of you. You know that, don't you? He's always ahead. And he always, you know, you pray 1 year and then the next year, there's my answer. For some of you, your answer is coming this weekend. For some of you, the question is coming this weekend, and the answer is on its way. God prepares all of us in different ways. For some of you, it might have been a week of joyful expectation and faith, just peace, just knowing that great things are about to happen. And for others, it can be tough. You know, a week of trials and testing and temptation and sometimes those trials are actually a very, very good thing. Because when we face difficulties and trials, what it does is it uncovers our hearts and shows us what's in our hearts. You know, that anger, that frustration, or that impatience, or that fear, it comes out. Sometimes when we face difficulties, we start thinking in a way that's not doesn't really correspond to God's word. We start to think that things that don't line up with the truth, like God's abandoned me, and where is he anyway? And I thought he was supposed to deliver me. I thought he was supposed to be my rock, and I don't feel like I'm on a rock right now. And sometimes we even get distracted, and we start thinking, well, there's this big devil out there, and he's on the loose, and it's uncontrollable, and we're just not agreeing with the truth. Let's not give the devil too much credit. We know that God is good all the time, and we know that he brings good out of every difficulty, every evil, for those of us who love him. So let's not be distracted by thinking about him. Let's just think about God and his goodness and his desire to save us and deliver us. So as I said, sometimes God just uses circumstances to put his finger on something he wants to do for you. I remember one conference a couple years ago, a woman came up to me, a young woman came up at the end, and I was on my way out, and she said, "Would you pray for me?" And I was tired. I said it as nicely as I could. I said, I really can't pray for you now, but maybe tomorrow I'd be able to pray for you. And the next day, she came up to me in the afternoon, and she said, actually, she came up to me on Saturday, and she came up and said, "I want you to know that after you told me you couldn't pray for me, I went home and I cried all night long." I said, "Oh, no, I'm so sorry." And she said, no, you don't understand. It was really good because what I experienced had nothing to do with your response. It was just that I experienced this rejection coming up in me, and I was facing my rejection, and now I've been set free. So we need to pay attention to everything during this weekend and during this time as we seek the Lord. So as we consider how the Holy Spirit has been working in our lives or things that have been coming up, the important thing to consider is not what has happened so much as how you responded to what has happened. Sometimes we get so focused on what's happened, but what God's after is our response, because our response is going to reveal to us the grace of God at work in our life. We have victory, or it's going to reveal the areas of our life that he wants to redeem and to save and to cleanse us from. Tonight, The title of the talk that I want to present is called Deliverance is a Good Word. It's a basic introduction to deliverance, and I'm going to share with you some personal experiences and really try to give you an indication, an overview of what our ministry is all about. There are many viewpoints about deliverance, but we want to be clear about what our approach is. And we focus on five keys. And the five keys are repentance and faith, forgiveness, renunciation, authority, and the Father's blessing. And so the whole weekend, we'll surround these five keys as we lead you through them and then put them all together in the last session called the Father's Blessing. The second talk I'm going to give tonight is repentance and faith, which is the first key. Tomorrow I'm going to speak about freedom in Christ. And then the second part of tomorrow night will be the keys of renunciation and authority. In the fifth session, we'll speak about the power of forgiveness. And that talk is really a special talk in terms of just why is it that believers who want to forgive find it hard to actually forgive from the heart. And so we uncover 15 reasons why so many of us want to forgive, try to forgive, and yet it's not done. Janet will follow that on Saturday morning with an in-depth teaching on how we pray for people. So you will know exactly the way that we instruct people to lead a session. And this way you will know how to take this with you to somebody someplace else, help a friend. And you also understand what it is that you should expect if you sign up for a ministry session. So you'll know what to expect. And we always want to feel like we're giving you the power and that you're taking your power back from what the enemy has done. And so we always want you to be the one that's saying, that's what I want. That's what I'm going for and seeking the Lord for it. Following most of the talks, we will have our prayer teams come up here and we will be able to pray for a short time during the conference. And then on Saturday afternoon, there will be a time to sign up for ministry. And during that time, the teams will be able to spend about 20 minutes, 30 minutes with a number of you, just leading you through the keys into a short session of short unbound session. Now, we will not be able to pray for all of you that request it. I can tell you that right now. But we do have follow-up days planned. And if you don't get a separate ministry session on Saturday afternoon, you will be called or contacted about a follow-up day, and we will get to you. In the afternoon, while we're having those sessions, Ann Stevens will be giving a talk on Staying Free, the Battle for Your Mind. And that's just a very important talk. And if you're out in a ministry session, you might want to buy the CD of it because it's just important to go forth from the five keys knowing how to hold on to your freedom. And then at the end of Saturday afternoon, we'll conclude with the Father's Blessing, which is probably the most important talk because, you know, whenever you're moving out of something, you're always moving into something in Christ. And so we want to move deeper and deeper into what it means to be sons and daughters of God to receive his blessing. So what is deliverance? Deliverance is what happened to you when you believed and were baptized. When you came to Christ, when you came to him, you're delivered from one kingdom into another kingdom. Deliverance, praying for deliverance means helping someone take hold of their full freedom that they already have been given in Christ. I'd like to give you an example that I love to tell this story. It just gives a clear example of what we mean by deliverance. We were in Rwanda a number of years ago, and this woman stood up and gave this testimony. She said that when I was young, like 13 or 14, the genocide began, and during the genocide, she ran from her village and hid in the woods while that went on. So when she came back to her village, her family was killed, and she was mistreated. She didn't really say how she was mistreated, but she said she was. And she heard me say, which I don't always say, but she heard me say that we can believe lies, and we can believe the lie that we're ugly. And when I said that, she said, that's me. I believe that I was ugly. And she said, I always carry with me just a broken piece of mirror because I never wanted to see my full reflection. So if I had to fix my eyes, I just look at my eyes or just look at my lips or just look at my hair. And she never wanted to see her full reflection in a mirror. And so she had went to a session like some of you will have on Saturday afternoon. And And she told her story, and she was prayed with, and she was really set free. And the great thing about the story was how she told it. She said, afterwards, I felt really good, but when I went back to my dorm, there was this big mirror that I'd been avoiding all week long. And she said, but this time, I just walked in front of it, and I looked at it. I said, I'm beautiful. See, that's deliverance. Moving from a place of believing the lie to a place of seeing yourself as God sees you. That's deliverance. And I don't know anybody that doesn't need some of that. We pray that you'll grow in a hunger and a desire for more freedom, the freedom that Christ has for you and he died for you for. Many people have a negative connotation about deliverance. Sometimes when Jen and I go places or we've been places and they'll introduce us and they'll say, oh, Neil and Janet have this international ministry and they preach the gospel and they pray for healing and they pray for deliverance too. And then, and it's like this thing, it's like, I don't want to say the word because somebody in the crowd is going to say, deliverance. We don't want any of that. The word provokes negative reactions from people, sometimes for a very good reason. But I want to start, and this message is all about, deliverance is a good word. Israel was delivered out of bondage to Pharaoh and brought into the promised land. After 70 years in captivity in Babylon, they were delivered and brought into Jerusalem. This was Israel's identity. This was their story. It's a story they were not hiding from. They weren't saying, oh, we weren't so bad back then. They were saying, no, we were slaves. We were in bondage. And the Lord delivered us. This is what they celebrate every year at the Passover. The youngest child would ask the question, why is this night unlike any other night? And then the father would tell the story about how God, with his mighty power, came and he delivered us. See, their identity as slaves was overshadowed by their identity as God's chosen people. This was the story that Jesus was raised in. That was the question he would have asked. Why is this night unlike any other night? And he would have been told the story. And now Jesus has become the fulfillment of this deliverance. He is the fulfillment, the completion of what began through Moses in Colossians 1:13. For he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the beloved Son. His story is now our story. We have been delivered. You have been delivered if you're in Christ. Deliverance is a good word. We've been delivered from darkness to light. You know, in the Old Testament times, before Jesus came and manifested the kingdom of God, there was an awareness of darkness. We read in Isaiah 60, verse 2, darkness covered the whole earth. Now, they had a sense of the darkness, but this sense of darkness was dull because there wasn't the contrast between light and darkness that when Jesus came, who is the light, when he appeared, the darkness was seen as darkness. And so in the New Testament, we read it a little differently. In 1 John 5:19, it says, the whole world is in the hands of the evil one. It's exposed. Darkness has been exposed by Jesus. Darkness, there is a demonic presence. There is really a Satan. There really is an evil power and who opposes the kingdom of God. You know, when Jesus commissioned the apostle Paul to proclaim his word to the Gentiles, he said, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Now, there wasn't any vagueness in Paul's proclamation. He knew that he was being sent to pull people out of the kingdom of darkness, to take them out from underneath the power of Satan and bring them under the power of God. There was no vagueness about spiritual realities. There was no vagueness about the two kingdoms. But for us today, for many, it's all become blurred. And the idea of two kingdoms is just out there someplace. Just, yeah, I believe it, but it's hard to perceive. When we hear deliverance, a lot of times we don't think about these things. We think about movies we've seen. We think about stories or manifestations of the demonic or exorcisms, and it clouds our perception of what deliverance is. These images hide the real meaning of deliverance. I like to tell people that deliverance is not about the devil. Deliverance is about freedom. And so I'd love to be able to just go to people's minds and pull it out and just say it's not about the devil. It's about freedom. In 1 John 3:8, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to break the hold of the enemy, and he came to restore true freedom to us. In John 8:36, it says, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So, again, what is deliverance? Well, it's not exorcism. Exorcism is driving out a demon through a use of a ritual that confronts, torments, and challenges a demon. The Catholic rite of exorcism is a liturgical rite, and it's provided by the Catholic Church for those determined to be possessed, and it can only be performed by a priest with the bishop's consent. It's supposed to be used in a very rare way. So you put that over here, and everything else has to do with evangelization, proclaiming the kingdom of God and coming out into the freedom that Christ has for us. Deliverance is more than just about freedom from evil spirits. It's this transfer. It's the transfer of kingdoms from one reality to another, from darkness to light. When we pray for deliverance, we always want to see it in a broader context. We like to talk about Unbound as a non-confrontational approach to deliverance. We do nothing to provoke or to challenge demons or to provoke evil spirits to manifest. There's nothing we do, and a lot of things we do, to help people take hold of their freedom without those kinds of things happening. Another way of saying deliverance is about freedom is that deliverance is no more about the devil than the Exodus was about Pharaoh. When you go back and you read that story, you're not thinking about the power of Pharaoh. You're thinking about the power of God. One priest wrote me describing what it was like to use the Unbound model. And he said, your model is so gentle, and it does not require as much from a priest or minister as the person who is receiving. The person receiving is doing most of the work, and the Lord does the rest. I use this model almost exclusively. Can you imagine the relief? You know, I don't have to do that much. And that's true. What we need to do is learn how to listen. Listen to people's hearts and just help them to respond to the grace of God. Now I'd like to just share with you some stories that illustrate what I've been speaking about. Sometimes people think of deliverance as something frightening. When we went to Slovakia years ago, our friend Bohus told us that he said there isn't a book written in Slovakia that you can read before going to bed. A book written about deliverance before you go to bed, because you'll be up all night with nightmares. And you know, you've read it, you've seen the stories, things that glorify Satan and what he can do and his power. Well, there wasn't a book in Slovakia. Well, now they have Unbound, praise God. Some approaches to deliverance focus on the dramatic, and they too can create fear. I have a friend, he was diagnosed with cancer, and so he was going for radiation treatments. And when he went for radiation treatments, he went into this room, a really gloomy room of people. They all had cancer, and there was one seat left, and he sat down next to this man. And he looked over at what he was reading, and he was reading the Bible, and my friend Joe was reading Unbound. He was brushing up on his renunciation, especially, you know, cancer provokes fear, and he's going over the renunciation stuff. And they look at each other, and before you know it, they switch books. Turns out the man next to him was an African-American pastor, and after reading the book a little while, he said, I've been waiting for you. So what do you mean? He says, well, see all these people out here? They all need to be ministered to. And so I've been praying for a partner. And a little while later, he says, he's reading Unbound, and he says, oh, you don't go in for the show, do you? Meaning the show, the dramatic, the expressive thing of just demonstrating authority by confronting spirits, etc. And Joe said, no, we don't go in for the show. Weeks later, the nurses were calling them the Sunshine Boys, because when they came into the room, everybody started to smile, and they changed the atmosphere in the room by the grace of God. Our experience is that the show often takes the focus away from the person and detracts from our focus on God. Deliverance is not just for the deeply afflicted. When we were in Slovakia, we trained leaders. So we were dealing with mature, committed believers. And months after, I received a letter from Bohus, my friend, that really captures what we desire to see in every place that we go. And it reads like this. We learned that our thinking about deliverance was a bit different from what Neil and Janet started to teach us. It was like a balm to our hearts. They were full of fear of spirits and devils at work in our lives. Neil put the ministry of deliverance to normal everyday life and took off the veil of mystery that was the reason for our fears. As a team of five leaders, we could say that those prayers had an incredible effect on our lives. On a general level, we had the opportunity to stand before each other naked, which gave us a closeness which we had never experienced up to that time. Now, after 5 months, we still feel this freedom in our relationships. Personally, almost each of us experienced deep deliverance from things that held us for many years. As leaders, we thought we had to cope with these small slaveries. We had to accept them as necessary pain in our lives. The best feeling after the seminar was, and he wrote it in caps, freedom. Many of us had serious wounds from the past that limited us in our ministry. Now we know that we can be free, and we are free. God wants to take away our fear and replace it with the freedom that he gives us in Christ, the freedom to receive his love. God wants us to give away what we've received. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it says, freely you have received, freely give. The greatest thing about this letter that Bohush wrote me is that several weeks after we were there, they went to Kazakhstan. And when they went to Kazakhstan, they had prepared a great deal of teaching like they usually did on their mission trips. But they said they realized that when they got there, it wouldn't be fair to them just to teach them Christian truth without really praying for them to be set free. And so after a couple inquiries, everybody requested, just 95% of the people requested this type of prayer. And so all week long, when one person was teaching, the rest of the team was out praying with people to 1 a.m. all day long to 1 a.m. in the morning. And this is what he wrote. He said, after 2 weeks of such ministry, the fruits were unbelievable. People were kissing our hands and saying they never experienced real love before in their lives. They said this kind of deliverance seemed to them gentle with love and acceptance. We are teaching a simple and safe approach to deliverance that people can take and freely give. It's our desire to empower people to be able to help others in a simple, loving, and compassionate way. Using the five keys can help somebody to minister to others and help them to take hold of their freedom without focusing on the devil. Jen and I have been to Rwanda three times. And the first time we went to Rwanda, I remember feeling a little intimidated. I felt like these folks have seen their family members hatcheted to death. They go to church with people that were on the other side and might have some responsibility in the death of family members. And I was feeling like, well, I wonder what we would have to offer folks like that. But when I stood up to speak, I found myself speaking from a different place. I stood up and I said, there's nothing in our experience that can relate to what you have seen and what you've been through. But the human heart is the same throughout the world, and the Lord has given it to us to understand the human heart. And that's what I want to teach you. I want you to have an understanding of your own heart, an understanding of the human heart in others, and be able to minister to it. And it doesn't matter where people come from or what their experiences were, you have something to give. At first, they didn't know whether they would trust us. They were gathered from all over the country. They'd never been together, and it was kind of a strange couple first days. But by the end of the week, there was a transformation that was just amazing. We found out that the third year we went, they presented us with a booklet that they had written on healing that distributed throughout the country. And the core of the booklet was on the five keys. It's a simple message that, I mean, they're the ones that really started calling it the five keys. Five fingers, five keys. It's really easy. Now, I'd like to share with you some observations about deliverance ministry over the last 40 years or so. You could describe it this way: the good, the bad, and the ugly. People have told me about some of the abuses that they've been through. People have told me about oil being poured down their throats and people being sat on and people going away feeling guilty like it was their fault that they weren't set free. And some people have told me various stories of just how they were traumatized by this process of driving spirits out. And yet, there's also a lot of good things that have happened, and there's many ministries that do a wonderful job. But along the way, as I remember back all the way to the 70s, I remember a lot of people getting into deliverance, and I was one of them. And then it got messy, and they just gave up. And I remember that just so many people had really good experiences, but then they would say, well, that really belongs to somebody else. Let somebody else do that job. Or if you need deliverance, go to so-and-so. And I was one of those people. I felt like, you know, I love to see people set free, but then it got messy and I didn't understand why it was messy. And I just said, Lord, send people to me that need healing and, you know, send other people to send other people to those that want to pray for deliverance. And what do you know? God did that. But some of the people got free through healing prayer, and a number of them did not. When I was first involved with deliverance ministry, back when I was a young man, 40 years ago, I was focused on the dramatic and the manifestations. I remember praying for somebody and saying, giving a command in the name of Jesus and seeing this manifestation and this response, this evil being manifest. And I have to admit, in here I was saying, wow, that's cool. You know, I can speak in the name of Jesus. And what authority? Well, obviously the Lord had a lot to do to humble me and to teach me before he could entrust me with more. I remember being attracted to the idea of battle and the mystery. I remember thinking about, you know, the battle in heavenly realms and places. And you read about it in Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. The scripture teaches us about the spiritual reality. It teaches us about the heavenly realm and the battle. But what I missed was the instruction. In verse 11, it says, put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Or another translation says, tactics. Take your stand against his tactics. So what do we need to learn? We need to learn what his schemes are. What are his strategies in your life? And what are the strategies that have been in your life that you've made room for? And that's what we like to focus on. We focus on the schemes, on the strategies, and reveal them. In the New Testament, deliverance always takes place in the context of the proclamation of the kingdom of God. In our lives, deliverance always takes place in the context of the proclamation of Jesus Christ, his kingdom. It's always in the context of evangelization. In the Unbound model, we're dealing with tactics and schemes of the devil in people's lives. We're not looking for confrontation with the enemy. The five keys are simply the gospel applied to a person's life. Our focus is on the truth. Jan and I pray for deliverance all the time, but we don't think about the devil. A lot of you think about the devil a lot more than we do. When we pray for deliverance, I'm thinking about the person. I'm thinking about the enemy's strategies. I'm thinking about how to help the person respond to the Lord. I know that if I can help the person understand the devil's tactics, then the devil himself becomes very insignificant to the process. Freedom is found in knowing Jesus. The greatest deliverance you'll ever receive is coming to know Jesus. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. The devil wants to steal our freedom, and he does it through deception. He wants to keep us from seeing our sins so we never really come to our Savior. It's really not that complicated. The Lord wants to set us free and deliver us. He wants us to be free from big slaveries and small slaveries. Remember my friend Bohush? These small slaveries we thought we'd have to live with. Some of us have made a place for small slaveries. Things we've become accustomed to. They just seem to be part of our life. And we just live with them. It's been so long. God wants more for you than we often want for ourselves. Sometimes people come to us and they want the big thing taken care of. It's like, can you just pray for this depression, please? And we just want to invite them into the process. And no, just pray for my depression. Will you pray that that goes away? Well, God doesn't want to just deal with one piece of your life. He wants the whole thing. And sometimes that one thing that really irritates us is just the doorway by which he's going to come and enter in and take hold and give you the freedom that you long for. So we want to thank him and trust him no matter what's going on in our life. Before we just like to take a moment now, why don't you stand? We're going to take a moment and pray, and then we're going to just take a little stretch break, and I'm going to see if we can get this microphone working a little better. Father, we just want to respond to this word, and we want to ask you, Father, to open up our hearts to the full work that you want to do in us. Jesus, you're Lord of my life. I want to submit to your lordship, to your saving power, your redemption. We ask you to come and to set us free from the small slaveries as well as the big ones. Lord, we want our hearts and our lives to be pleasing to you.